Thank you, Miriam, for leading us in such a great message through song. Great is thy faithfulness. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a connection we feel when we experience a historical event at the same time as someone else. Think 9/11 or the first time someone walked on the moon. It brings an instant connection to all who experience them, and we tend to want to go and tell our experience. Well, today's gospel story asks that same question of the original witnesses of the resurrection. Where were you when Jesus died? Where were you the Sunday morning after he had been buried? The resurrection is a historical event, you see, and as we see in today's gospel, in this historical event, it propels the people who experienced it to go and tell. We don't often read today's story, so I'm going to give you a little bit of background. The day after Jesus died, this goes before today's text, some of the leaders in Jerusalem were concerned about Jesus' claims that he would indeed rise 3 days after he died. So they asked Pilate if they could send some guards to guard the tomb. Pilate agreed and sent those guards to the tomb, and that's who we see in today's text. Then Easter morning happens, and we heard that story last week. Mary and the other Mary go to see the tomb, and then the earthquake strikes, and the Lord's angel comes down from heaven, rolls away the stone, and sits on it, and they see the tomb is empty. The guards are shaking out of fear, and they fall down like they're dead. And the angel tells the women last week, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was nailed to a cross. He isn't here. God has raised him to life just as Jesus said he would. Come see the place where his body was lying. Hurry and tell his disciples this as well, and make your way to Galilee." So they make their way to Galilee, and as they do, the Marys encounter Jesus, and they bow and worship him, and they recognize that this is really true. But while the women are on their way to Galilee, we hear today's gospel story. And those guards that had been guarding the tomb go to the city to tell the leaders there everything that had happened. And we can imagine that fear is swirling everywhere, because in last week's gospel it said that the guards fell out of fear, and the Marys were also fearful, but they were also full of joy. And so these guards, as they tell the leaders when they go to Jerusalem, are probably fearful to tell them as well. So they devise a solution to alleviate the fear and keep going on with life as usual. They say to the guard, "Tell everyone that Jesus' disciples came during the night and stole the body while you were sleeping. And if the governor happens to hear about this, don't worry about it at all. We will give you money and we'll take care of it." So the soldiers, the guards, took the money as they had been told. The resurrection, as I said, was an event experienced firsthand by the two Marys as well as these guards. And both witnesses of the resurrection are fearful. The Easter story that we heard last week goes and tells about resurrection. The one we hear this week is intercepted a little bit, and there is some resistance to resurrection. And that is just the tension that resurrection brings. Perhaps it's another meaning of the cross, resurrection and resistance to resurrection. Because as often as we believe, just as often we catch ourselves resisting faith. Faith and fear go together until the day we die. We're always wrestling with these forces in our lives. A couple of personal examples. Many, many years ago in college, I remember I was being nominated for some award and I had to write an essay to go along with it. I don't know what I said exactly, but I remember attributing the things that I had received in life to God and being pretty articulate about that. And before I submitted it to the powers that be, I asked a mentor and a person who really believed in me and wanted me to get this award to read it. And when he read it, he said, "It's good, but there's an awful lot of God talk in there." So I reconsidered submitting this essay because I thought, this man, I really respected his viewpoint, and I know he wanted me to do well. But in the end, I ended up not changing it because I decided it was more important for me to voice what I truly believed than to receive this award. And I think about that sometimes, now when I'm fearful of proclaiming my faith. And yes, that does happen, which leads me to the second story. Just a couple of years ago, I was hiking with family friends and mentioning to the adults in the group, I don't always like to tell people I'm a pastor upon meeting them, because when I do, it seems to change people's perceptions of me. My life is just easier if I keep that to myself. And I soon realized that not just the parents were listening to me, but their 13-year-old daughter overheard me say it as well. And she said, "Why don't you like to tell people that you're a pastor? I would be so happy to let people know about Jesus." And it was a profound moment for me, because the resurrection calls us to go and tell and trust this life-changing story, like the two Marys. And yet the more practical details of life and our fears tend to influence our decisions and our behaviors in the day-to-day. I trust the resurrection. It's the foundation of my faith. It's the foundation of my life. But I am just as easily persuaded to settle on things like security or logic, the desire to be liked or popular, the desire to not look foolish, the desire to be right or in control, than I am to move outside of myself and live the good news that Christ died and rose again. So yes, we are Lutheran, and we realize we are saved by grace through faith, by nothing of our own doing. So whether we go and tell or not, I guess it doesn't really matter. And it also is part of my hesitancy to always seem too pronounced in faith. I don't want to seem too holier than thou, or make it seem like I'm better than someone else because of my faith. But that's not what the resurrection is about. Christ's resurrection is not meant to bring distinctions between people. Christ's resurrection changes lives. Christ's resurrection keeps bringing dead things to life. And when we are overly concerned with ourselves and what we have or have not done, our fears or inadequacies, our sins or our shortcomings, we are essentially dead. But that's the good news. Resurrection happened, and resurrection keeps happening, despite our resistance or our hesitance to live it or believe it sometimes. Jesus died, but Jesus rose again. That's the promise we've received through no merit of our own. It's the promise that saves us from ourselves and from one another, and from all the acts of resistance to faith that we consciously and unconsciously participate in every single day. Christ's resurrection is an event that happened more than 2,000 years ago. It's not a parable, it's not an allegory or a myth. It actually happened, and raising things to new life keeps happening today. Despite our best efforts to resist it, Christ's love and Christ's power and Christ's forgiveness always win. Thanks be to God. Amen.